KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming right up.
I'm Brian Calvert. We're now able to confirm a case of that new COVID strain, as well as worries it's already spreading.
Also,
dear President Trump, please ignore our governor. I'm Corwin Hake, a Congress member's plea for wildfire aid.
And
early results from a study out of the Tri-Cities suggest that vaping changes bodies at the molecular level. I'm Carlene Johnson.
Live now to ABC.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The final preparations for Wednesday's presidential inauguration include an unprecedented security buildup and a close second look to make sure there are no threats coming from the inside.
25,000 National Guard members from all over the country are arriving here, and the FBI has to make sure none is a threat. Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy.
We're continually going through the process and taking second, third looks at every one of the individuals assigned to this operation.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Washington.
There was a brief lockdown this morning at the U.S. Capitol during an inauguration rehearsal, but authorities said it was caused by a fire from a nearby homeless encampment. That lockdown's been lifted. No public events scheduled today for President Trump. The incoming president spent part of his morning volunteering in Philadelphia.
President-elect Joe Biden marked the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday with a service project in Philadelphia. Biden and his wife Jill packed up boxes of food at Philabundance, the City of Brotherly Love's largest hunger relief organization. The Bidens worked an assembly line. The president-elect packed beans two cans at a time while his wife packed rice. They were joined by their daughter Ashley and granddaughter Finnegan. The Biden transition team encouraged Americans to take part in the National Day of Service on this MLK holiday. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Governors across the country continue to say they need more doses of the coronavirus vaccine in order to effectively use it. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan says,
overall, we will require 12 million doses to reach two doses for all Marylanders. Right now, we have received 4.5% of that amount.
The U.S. is approaching 400,000 deaths from COVID-19, but the seven-day average of new cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are all declining. Financial markets closed today for the Martin Luther King holiday. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
And a very pleasant Martin Luther King holiday to you. It's 10:02:44, partly cloudy in downtown Seattle. I'm Tom Hutler with the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. The State Health Department reporting new COVID numbers yesterday after not being able to on Saturday because of a computer problem. The latest count featured 1,817 new cases of COVID-19. The agency warns numbers won't be reported again today due to the holiday. The COVID-19 variant that has closed much of the UK is now here in the Pacific Northwest. As KOMO's Brian Calvert tells us, we have at least one confirmed case.
The announcement was made over the weekend. The COVID variant is here with a confirmed case in Oregon. This strain of COVID spreads much faster. A staff member at the University of Portland is said to be the first known victim, although Dr. Carlos Crespo says many more here in our region could have this.
And if you're getting a test, you might get a false negative, because this new variant is not updated in the testing that we're doing now.
Some test labs are now updating to detect this variant. Others have not done so, meaning someone could have this but received a false negative and is back out there in public spreading it unknowingly. As for the man in Oregon with our first confirmed case,
as far as where he may have actually contracted it, that is still being looked at.
Michael Llewellyn is a spokesperson for the U of P and says so far the man has not experienced anything severe. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
An investigation's been launched into suspected misconduct by a Seattle police officer. An ER nurse complained in a Twitter thread that the officer repeatedly refused to wear a mask inside the hospital. Neither the officer nor the hospital are being identified. The Office of Police Accountability promises the investigation will be completed in an expedited timeline. A truck fire and a bomb scare forcing the closure of a section of downtown Seattle. Saturday afternoon, the truck was parked near the FBI's Seattle headquarters, and the owner told police there was a bomb in the truck. But KOMO's Patrick Quinn says there was no bomb.
Police said the 34-year-old man has no major criminal history. He acted alone, and they're still investigating why he might have made the bomb threat outside FBI headquarters. Earl Camp, acting special agent in charge of the FBI Seattle field office, said right now all is calm in the state ahead of Inauguration Day.
We are linked up with our local county and state partners, and we are constantly trying to gather any inkling of a specific threat, but as of yet, right now, there is none.
Seattle is secure after a scare. For the police, they'll remain on guard as the country recovers from one attack, hoping to avoid another.
The owner of the truck was arrested. Straight ahead,
a different kind of ceremony.
Startling moment for the country.
I'm Manda Factor with thoughts from a veteran journalist who's covered 10 inaugurations.
Global News Time 10:04. Traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s into the midday hours we go on this Monday. And for the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center, here once again is Tammy Bennett.
And midday traffic is really uneventful. We've got some traffic lights malfunctioning on 522 at North Gateway. They are flashing, so treat that as an always stop. But all of our blocking incidents have been cleared. We do have some flooding and landslide closures, though, in Randall. Highway 131 is closed both directions between Skinner and Cispus Roads. And in Hoquiam, State Route 109 between Bypass Road and Grays Harbor Boulevard closed. Your next traffic report at 10:14. I'm Tammy Bennett with Como News.
And this traffic report is sponsored by Beacon Plumbing. Beacon Plumbing Heating and Electrical, that is. Call Beacon today and save $50 on all drain cleaning and sewer repair. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN and stop freaking. Call Beacon. Let's check that forecast. Meteorologist Kristen Clark.
So far this January has been trending warmer than normal, but that's about to change here the next couple of days as a cool down takes place later on this week. By this weekend, high temperatures could stay in the 30s in a few spots. And then as moisture begins to move into this colder air on Sunday, expecting a rain-snow mix for the lowlands. Now, not a significant amount of snow, but maybe an inch or two of slush accumulating as the rain-snow mix could continue Monday and Tuesday of next week. It bears some watching. And the Como Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Mostly cloudy, 44 downtown. It's 10:06 as we continue with 20 minutes of nonstop news. Halfway through the school year, more evidence is coming out that children are struggling with remote learning. National studies show students have lost ground in math, and hospitals are seeing far more children for issues related to depression and anxiety. Here's State Superintendent Chris Rickdahl.
We know they're struggling right now. Students across the state, in pretty unprecedented ways, are struggling despite the unbelievable efforts of educators to build remote learning systems in a very remarkably short period of time.
OSPI asked districts to conduct universal check-ins to see how students are doing emotionally and academically, but the Seattle Times reports they don't require the results to be submitted. One scary statistic on enrollment shows students of below grade level before the pandemic, a large percentage did not come back, so districts are having to try and figure out where those kids ended up. Researchers at the U.S. Department of Energy's Pacific Northwest National Lab in Richland are studying the potential health effects of e-cigarettes or vaping. Early results show vaping changes the body at the molecular level. Mo from Como's Carlene Johnson.
They're looking at whether vaping causes subtle changes in proteins at the molecular level that could contribute to disease or other health problems. The Tri-City Herald reports vaping does lead to what they call oxidative stress, which can overwhelm how the body naturally repairs itself. Oxidative stress can lead to dangerous chain reactions for the body linked to heart disease, cancer, respiratory disease, and other health conditions. They developed a biochemistry technique that makes it possible to measure the oxidation of proteins. And interestingly, they said they see the higher oxidation levels whether or not the vaping liquid contains nicotine. These are early results and don't necessarily prove that e-cigarettes are inherently bad for your health, but they are showing how vaping impacts cell function at the molecular level. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Como News Time, 10:08. 30 Hanford contract workers will be out of a job by Thursday. Mission Support Alliance plans to lay off 30 workers at its Department of Energy as its Department of Energy contract expires. The contractor had just over 1,900 employees at the end of September. Did President Trump withhold federal aid to wildfire victims in our state because he doesn't like Governor Inslee? That's what Republican U.S. representatives have implied in a letter to Trump. Here's Como's Corwin Hake to explain.
There's no love lost between Governor Inslee and President Trump.
He's a nasty person. I don't like the governor of Washington.
We're not distracted by some of the noise out of the White House.
Now Spokane Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers is acknowledging the animosity may be compelling the president to withhold promised aid to the state to help victims of last summer's wildfires. In a letter obtained by the Spokesman Review, McMorris Rogers urges the president to put their differences aside. She writes, quote, despite our governor's bad faith personal vendetta against your administration, people in my district need support. In a statement, Inslee's office calls the letter, quote, pathetic, adding it's not a request for aid, but an appeal to the president's ego. Corwin Hake, Como News.
Como News time now, 10:09. 2 days from now, President-elect Joe Biden will take the oath of office, the 46th person to do so.
This inauguration is so radically different from anything we've seen before. It's breathtaking.
Amanda Factor. Ann Compton, former ABC News Chief Washington and White House correspondent, has covered 10 inaugurations, beginning with Jimmy Carter's in 1977.
We believe we will see President-elect Joe Biden stand on the west front of the Capitol, raise his right hand, but no one will be there to witness it in the public except 25,000 National Guard troops in combat fatigues.
Ann told the Como Morning News it will be a startling moment for the country. She also says the absence of the outgoing president will be striking.
And he decided he didn't want to leave Washington as a former president, so he will go early Wednesday morning on Air Force One as president of the United States and leave the city.
She does not expect President Trump to leave a note for the incoming president, as is customary.
That kind of peaceful transition of power is the hallmark that the world looks to from American democracy.
Amanda Factor, Como News.
Como News time, 10:10, Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk update time. Might have been the final game in the remarkable career of Drew Brees as the Saints were beaten by Tom Brady in Tampa Bay 30-20 in the NFC divisional playoff game. Brees had three interceptions among four Saints turnovers. Was it his last game?
I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
The Bucs advance to play the Packers in the NFC Championship game, and the AFC Kansas City will host Buffalo after the Chiefs held off Cleveland yesterday, 22-15. And in MLS soccer news from the Sounders today, they have announced that the longtime club executive and original employee Chris Henderson has accepted the role of chief soccer officer and sporting director with Miami CFC, Inter Miami CFC of the MLS. The former star from high school soccer here in our state has been with the Sounders since 2008. We check sports at 10 and 40 past each hour. Traffic and weather coming up. Como News time now, 10:11. As more doses of the COVID-19 vaccines become available, some people are choosing not to get it. And it raises a question as we hear from medical reporter Liz Bonas.
Employment attorneys now say it is one of the top questions they are getting asked. If I don't choose to get the vaccine, can my employer make it mandatory to return to work?
Well, it's very complicated. The short answer is that yes, employers may require employees to get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine.
For healthcare workers, perhaps nursing home workers or others, those who don't get the COVID-19 vaccine may be a real threat or danger to those around them. That's the basis employment attorney Faith Whitaker says your workplace can use to require the COVID-19 vaccine.
But there needs to be some exceptions for medical or religion.
That said, however, if most people step up, this might never be mandatory. However, an early survey so far, many states report what Ohio has found.
And what we found is, for example, the nursing homes. We're seeing only about 40% of the people who work in nursing homes are taking the vaccine.
But just because the vaccine can be mandatory, right now business advisors, even for medical personnel, say that doesn't mean it should. You see, the FDA has only given emergency use authorization for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. So these leaders admit,
when there's clear evidence and months of data collection to demonstrate that this is a safe vaccine, in future periods of time, and maybe even in future years, it may become mandatory. It depends.
In the meantime, those advising employers say education and perhaps a few other steps might be a better way to get more people to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
For employers, they need to have thorough assistance from counsel and advice from counsel to understand their risks and then also see whether or not it makes sense operationally to require that. And maybe if they don't require it, they could provide incentives for encouraging it.
Now, this is likely going to be an ongoing legal debate. The hope, of course, is that enough of us will step up to get it that are comfortable so we get herd immunity. That means about 70% of us would have to be vaccinated, which does mean we still have a ways to go. I'm medical reporter Liz Bonas.
As the U.S. Capitol tightens security ahead of the inauguration, ABC's Aaron Katursky tells us there are new details about the siege at the Capitol.
An FBI document said some of the insurrectionists set up communications in advance using amateur radios and encrypted messaging apps, masks, concealed earpieces, and microphones. The document obtained by ABC News made clear the siege was no spur-of-the-moment event, but involved pre-operational planning. What the report called militia violent extremists programmed the frequencies of their radios before they traveled here to Washington. Something else for law enforcement to watch for 2 days before the inauguration. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Washington.
Speaking of which, we'll talk about more of the preparation going on in the nation's capital, which is almost virtually locked down right now. Those details coming up next with ABC's Martha Raddatz. Global News Time 10:14. Traffic every 10 minutes on the fours. And from the Newman Law Group Traffic Center, here once again is Tammy Bennett.
Thanks, Tom. I'm actually looking for traffic now. All of our freeways are wide open and moving at the speed limit. Surface streets, however, not so much. They're busy just about everywhere I'm looking. 522, we still have traffic lights malfunctioning at North Gateway. They are flashing, so treat that as a four-way stop no matter which direction you're going. We don't have any restrictions on our mountain passes except for Snoqualmie. Stevens. They are advising traction tires. And we've got flooding closures in Randall, Highway 131 between Skinner and Sisson. Roads and a landslide closure in Hopewyam, Highway 109 between Bypass Road and Grace Harbor Boulevard. Your next traffic report coming up at 10:24. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
Forecasting the clouds and some partly sunny skies this afternoon at a high near 50. Same story tomorrow. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. The chance of rain comes back on Thursday, and we'll also start to cool our temperatures down as well. Right now in Everett, we're looking at cloudy skies, currently 42 degrees. Tacoma also with 44 degrees and partly sunny skies. And at SeaTac Airport, partly sunny reported in 45 at 10:16.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Stories we're following with Taylor Van Sice and Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Tom Hutler, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, officially stepping away from her Senate seat today, but will continue to play a big role in the chamber as the Vice President, President of the Senate, and thus the tie-breaking vote. The Senate will be split 50-50, but the Democrats have the majority with Harris as the tiebreaker. Outgoing HHS Secretary Alex Azar thinks the country will still have the majority of Americans vaccinated for COVID-19 by this summer. He says despite the slow rollout, 50 million doses have already been made available. 250 million shots should be delivered by the end of April, according to Azar. Washington, D.C. essentially on lockdown ahead of Wednesday's inauguration. ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz.
Barricades sealing off huge sections of the city, security checkpoints scattered throughout, and armed National Guard troops surrounding the Capitol building. This weekend, thousands more Guard troops arriving at Joint Base Andrews. 25,000 expected to be in place by Wednesday, a military force five times larger than that in Iraq and Afghanistan, as the threat to this city remains high. Overnight, the Secretary of the Army saying they are screening troops for any possible insider threats.
It's the unknown. We've also been vetting them through the FBI. We're continually going through the process and taking second, third looks at every one of the individuals assigned to this operation.
And now this disturbing new video shot by the New Yorker magazine's Luke Mogelson.
We're outnumbered. There's a million of us out there, and we are listening to Trump. You're the boss.
The angry mobs storming the Capitol, rifling through papers in the Senate chamber, and on the hunt for officials. A lone police officer urging the crowd to clear the chamber. Jake Angeli leaving an ominous note for Vice President Pence.
It's only a matter of time.
The rioters urging more violence.
Storm your own Capitol buildings! Hang up!
The FBI investigating whether a Pennsylvania woman, who they say stole a laptop from Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office, intended to sell it to Russia. The FBI issuing a report saying that some insurrectionists set up communication mechanisms in advance using amateur radios and encrypted messaging applications like Signal to communicate, using masks to conceal earpieces and microphones. The report clear there was pre-planning involved in the riots. New details also about the threat to political leaders during the riots. A witness alleging in an affidavit that Dominic Pezzola also discussed how he and others would have murdered House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Mike Pence if they had gotten the chance. In court papers and interviews, at least four pro-Trump rioters have said they joined the march that spiraled into violence, in part because the president encouraged them to do so.
How serious is our country going to take domestic white extremism? And I think what we saw here last week is that we didn't take it seriously enough.
Already at state capitals across the country, small protests, mostly peaceful, but in Lansing, Michigan, a confrontation. Michigan National Guard troops and state police coming face to face with more than 100 protesters and counter-protesters. Some carrying weapons.
21 states have now called up the Guard, as well as here in D.C., where they are rehearsing for all possibilities, including armed groups that might plant bombs.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. SCOMO News Time 1020. Propel Insurance, the Propel Insurance Business Update now, as we check your money news, like we do every 20 and 50 past the hour.
At the height of the pandemic, we cooked way more at home and developed tastes for new ingredients. As life gets back to normal, those trends are expected to continue. Changes have already shaped companies' business strategies and sparked new products. PepsiCo debuted restaurant-inspired potato chip flavors such as Philly cheesesteak flavor from famed Gino Steaks to cater to customers who miss dining out. Fast casual restaurant chain and consumer packaged goods company Cava added spicy dressings to cater to customers' desire for a break from tired routines. Can't get caught up on your reading? There's an app for that. It's called InstaRead, and you can get a one-year subscription for $20. InstaRead is an app for iPhone, Android, and any updated web browser that allows you to read from thousands of New York Times best-selling books. Each of the books has been condensed by InstaRead's curators to be summarized in 15 minutes. You can read the summaries or stream them in audio format while on the go. The stock market is closed for the holiday. That's your money now.
Information is power. Everything you need to know before you get to work. The Como Morning News with Greg Hirschold and Manda Factor on Como News 1000, FM 97.7 and comonews.com.